Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to the book of Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter number 61. Isaiah chapter number 61 this morning. Going to be a little bit of a different message than you would usually hear on a Sunday morning. We're going to jump around a little bit more than we normally may do, but I think there's some things that can help us today and help us understand who that baby was that was in the manger that we celebrate. And the title of this morning's message is, Who is That Baby? Or Who is Jesus? You know, there was an interesting question that Jesus asked his disciples in the Mark chapter 8. It says, And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? So there was a spot when Jesus had asked the disciples, wondering, of course Jesus already knew, but he wanted to teach them something. And he says to them, he says, Whom do men say that I am? And they begin to answer. And they answered, John the Baptist, but some Elias, and others, one of the prophets. In Mark 8:29, he says, And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. Now, in that passage of Scripture, it's kind of interesting because it's the answer that is really needful to help people's eternity. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? What do you think he was? And Jesus there, he says, Who do men think I am? So that's he's asking them to say, Well, tell me what other people are saying. But then he asks even a more important question. Now, it's okay to understand what other people are saying. He asks the question, he says, Whom do ye say that I am? Because it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks about Jesus. It matters about what you think about him today. It matters whether or not you know him as your personal Savior. Do you see him as God that became man? So we celebrate Christmas, that he lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay our sin penalty for us. So, I mean, yes, there's lots of people that say lots of things about Jesus. But who do you think he is today? Who is that baby? So when we come and look at this, and it's Isaiah chapter 61 and some other passages, tell us a little bit who Christ is. And also speaks a little bit about the reason why he came. But think a little bit about what other people say about him. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is not God, but before he lived on earth, he was Michael the Archangel. Mormons believe Jesus was created by God the Father and Mary in heaven and is the eldest brother of all men. Hinduism and Buddhism see him as an enlightened teacher or guru. Some wrong answers may sound good, but they're just not truth. In Islam, he's called a prophet, a messenger of God. New Agers speak of Jesus as some mystic medium who might get us in touch with some special wisdom and knowledge. Others have said that he was a great moral teacher. Perhaps the most common view is that Jesus was just a great man. Historian H.G. Wells listed the 10 greatest men of all history and put Jesus number one on the list. But some only want to see Jesus as a teacher or a man, but don't accept his claim to be God. And there are those that will say that Jesus never claimed to be God. But in some of these passages of scriptures this morning, I think you're going to see that not only did he say he was God, but he accepted the glory and praise of God. Plus, he was recognized by heaven as God. One preacher puts it this way. A man who is merely a man and said the same thing, sort of things Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman, or something worse. So Jesus, if he says he was God, the Son of God, God became man, either he is God, who has never made a mistake and never sinned, or he's a liar. It's one of the two. So what do you say who Jesus is today? And as we celebrate this Christmas season, the thought that comes to mind is, who is it that we're celebrating? Because if we make much of Jesus, the way we live our lives is going to be completely different. We have strong faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he did in this world. We will see him as the perfect gift that was a very needful gift. And here in Isaiah chapter 61, I open up a Bible app, and each day it has a certain verse. And these are a couple of the verses. And the Lord just spoke to my heart about, you know, this is Jesus and who Jesus is and how wonderful he is. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 6, we might look at in a little while, talks about how he's wonderful. Let's look here in Isaiah chapter 61, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter number 4 and look at a couple things. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty in it for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, if we didn't have the New Testament and we read those verses, we might think that's applicable to many different people. But take your Bible to Luke chapter number 4. In Luke chapter number 4, there's a story where Jesus is reading out of the book of Isaiah inside the temple that day. And it's kind of an interesting thought there. Take notice of where he ends in Luke chapter number 4, and you'll see that this speaks of two different prophecies. First, it speaks of the prophecy of Jesus coming to this world, born in a manger. Next, it speaks about him coming later on as king and ruler of this world. And when you compare these scriptures, you're going to see that prophecy, one of the great things about Christmas is all those prophecies that were fulfilled. You can have strong faith and confidence in God because he was born in Bethlehem, because he was born of a virgin, because he was born. All the different prophecies that were fulfilled that day. And now there's still future prophecies. Look what it says in Luke chapter number 4. Let's pick up in verse number 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he's there and he stops at a certain spot. At verse number 19, he stops. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 61, it continues on to say in verse number 2, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." So in Luke chapter number 4, he stops at a particular spot. And you say, well, why would he have stopped? Why didn't he finish the passage of Scripture? Well, go to what it says in verse number 17. It says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So they hand him the book. He opens up this book and he begins to read out of it. Once again, he is in Nazareth right now. They only know him as the son of Joseph. They do not know who Jesus is. And then you continue to read in verse number 20. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister." Now, these are future prophecies about the Messiah. They would have known this passage of Scripture. They had been looking for this Messiah. They were excited about this Messiah was coming. But they also would have known that he had stopped early. And let's keep on going. "And so he closed the book," in verse 20, "and he gave it again to the minister and sat down." And look at this, it says, "And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What he was telling that group there, that people, was that he was the Messiah. He was telling them that he was God that became man. And let's keep on reading how they respond. And he said, verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" And that's the amazing thing. They don't know who he is. Because of that, they said, well, isn't this Joseph's son? He's saying he's somebody different. Now, there's people out in the world says he never claimed to be the Messiah. He never claimed to be son of God. He never claimed to be God. But this passage of scripture is specifically saying, hey, look, I have answered and have fulfilled these scriptures with myself. Now, he stopped early than he did in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, because he stopped there because he did not come at that point in time for the day of vengeance of our God. It's amazing that there's two prophecies interwoven together in Isaiah. And it teaches us something about prophecy. And it's written many times that a portion of the scripture will be fulfilled. And then later on, the second portion of scripture will be, the prophecy will be fulfilled later on at, when he comes back a second time. Now, the Old Testament prophets, when they've written many times, they wrote and not understanding the age of the dispensation of the church and the dispensation of all these things that were going on. And here he's saying, I have fulfilled up to this point. And then it continues on. It says, and he said in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto the Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So I think it's kind of interesting here, and what the Lord's just kind of laid upon my heart this morning is to just talk a little bit about who Jesus is, the reason why he came. We know he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to die for the sins of mankind. As we heard earlier, the quartet sing, he was born to die. That was his purpose. That was his reasoning. But who is that baby? What should that mean to us? Yes, he is our Savior, but is he our Lord? Is he the Lord of our lives? And as we look at some of the things he has and some of the things he's able to do and just speak and lift him up a little bit this morning, hopefully it will encourage us to introduce more people to Jesus. Because in this passage of scripture, you see people here who do not know who Jesus is. And when they hear the truth that only Jesus can bring, they want to kill him. They have no interest in it. They say, oh, let's throw him headlong over the hill. They want to put him to death because they did not like what he had to say. And no matter what others may say or not say, if we believe who Jesus is, we should want to share him with others. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this morning that we can only begin to scratch the surface of the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we consider how he's presenting himself to this group of people in Nazareth, Lord, there's many that reject him. They get upset because they didn't like what he said. And we live in a world today that does not like to hear things that they're not comfortable with. But we live in a world today that is dying and headed towards hell. And Lord, you've given us the truth. And you've given us and asked us to be a light in this world. And said we are a light and we should be witnesses. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to all know who Jesus Christ is and have our faith and trust placed in him. And that when they ask that question, who do you say Jesus is? Help us respond with the fact that he's our Lord and Savior, God that became man to die for our sins and paid my sin debt. Lord, speak to people's hearts today. Help us to understand the truths of Christmas, that was not just a baby in that manger. That was God. And Lord, that you came to die for us. Help us rejoice in that, but help us see the seriousness of where the world is at. And the only true answer and help is that needed. Is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've gotten older over the years, I've learned something. I was taught something, and we should be teachable people. Tonight, we're going to look a little bit about, last week we talked about being a mature Christian in the evening service. Tonight, we're going to look a little bit about being a teachable Christian. We should always be learning. We should always be growing. We should always be growing our grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I learned something about gift giving before. As a kid, you always had desires. You always wanted something. I want this gift, I want that, different things like that. Sometimes people even ask for a list. Now, as one family member, and you might remember your grandparents doing this for you, I have a family member that would give me things I needed for Christmas. There's one that gives me undershirts. And I remember the first time I got undershirts. I used to think, undershirts? Who wants to get that for Christmas? Then I began buying the undershirts for myself. and buying the socks for myself and realizing they were things that were needed and I didn't have to spend money to get the things that I needed. And those were gifts that now when I have a Christmas list that somebody asks, and sometimes my parents or my in-laws ask to say, what would you like for Christmas? And they ask us to make a list so we could be surprised. On my list now says undershirts and socks. And you might think, you're getting a little too personal. Well, it taught me something. It taught me that, you know, that gift was a need, and that person thought enough of me saying, I know that person's going to need that this year, and this is the gift I want to give them. I don't want to just give them the thing that they think they need. I don't want to just give them the things that they think they desire. I want to help them and give them some things that they need. I don't know about you, but growing up, if you got socks from your grandparents or, you know, different little things. I'm sure that many of you have heard some of your testimonies that times have been lean and tight and didn't get hardly anything for Christmas. I understand all that, but don't miss this, that there was a need that that person met and it made me grateful. It taught me something. And as it taught me something, it began to become something I wanted and I asked for. And when we think about Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, there was a need. There was a need that only he could meet. And as I've been looking around in the last week or two, especially from Black Friday to now, I see so many people that are brokenhearted and so many people that have great needs. But when I come to this passage of scripture here in Luke chapter 4 and also Isaiah chapter 61, let's go back to Isaiah 61. I know there's similar passages of scriptures because he's reading out of those, but I guess it's beautiful the way it's written about the coming Messiah and the needs that he can meet. The Spirit of the Lord God is, Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, I know at the beginning of this, it continues on talking about the day of vengeance, Lord, speaking about the second coming, but listen to the beautiful words in verse number 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I think that's speaking of future days, but listen to those things. He's giving beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, those are things that the Lord can do for us today. He can take things that seem like they're ashes and things that are burning, get beauty out of them. He can make all things work together for good. He can take our mourning and turn it into joy. He can take our heaviness and turn it into a spirit of praise. Now let's go to Luke chapter 4 again. Once again, he is very similar. And I like to just think a little bit about when Christ came, who that baby was. These are the prophecies, some of the prophecies that he fulfilled and some of the things that should be excited in our life when we think about this Christmas season. That there is, first of all, think about the evangelization that's here, as mentioned, verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. These three words, preach the gospel, is speaking about to evangelize and to be an evangelist. And that's something that Christmas season should be. It's something that we should use it to spread forth the gospel. I think it was great that we gave out over 2,200 things last night. But at the same time, that's not just the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is someone who will go and present the truth and talk to somebody, show them their need. And we pray that we give out the track. And I prayed throughout the week, all those things as they were bagged and as we went, that we were praying, hey, Lord, use these things to be an impact. Help people come to our church. Help them to hear the truth. Help them to see the need that Jesus met. He can meet the need because he is the one that the gospel is spoken about. Not only is it, you see evangelism in there, you also see it says that he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I see encouragement. See, sin is a great heartbreaker. You go out and you look at the world today, and I see so many people heartbroken, so many people with bad attitudes, so many people overwhelmed, so many people that just not enjoying life. Their hearts are broken inside. Now, they might go out and, you know, they might, the world might say, here, you know, take another drug. That will help cover the pain. Or here, if you do this type of pleasure, that's going to cover the pain for a little while. Here, go buy more things and buy more things and buy more things with money you do not have, because it's going to cover the pain. But Jesus here, it's saying he's not covering the pain. He's able to heal the brokenheartedness. He's able to heal the problems that you have. You know, whatever area that you have in your life, you can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We heard about it this morning in Sunday school. We can rejoice. Paul sitting in the prison cell, but because he had confidence in God, he believed that Jesus came and he died and he rose again because his faith and confidence was in God. Guess what happened? He could be cheerful in prison. He could be writing to people he loved and talk about, hey, look, make sure you're rejoicing. Now, you would think the people that are outside the prison would be sending the message to Paul saying, hey, look, remember, don't lose sight of who God is. Remember to continue on rejoicing. No, it's the guy in the prison cell that has great confidence in God that says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's saying, hey, look, we should be cheerful and we should be thankful. Why is that? Because he allowed God to heal his brokenheartedness. He could have been sitting in that prison cell saying, what in the world am I doing here? Sin is what is the great heartbreaker of the day, but Christ is the great mender of broken hearts. The gospel brings joy where sadness is. It replaces lamentations with laughter. It can take a world that is sin-cursed and so mixed up and so bad, and Jesus can fix the problems and issues. He can mend the brokenhearted. Also, you see the emancipation of it. The emancipation of it. Look what it says. To preach deliverance to the captives. To preach deliverance to the captives. You know, it says, he hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. To set at liberty them that are bruised, it says in verse number 18. Think about it. What Jesus Christ can do. He can free those that are enslaved to sin. Sin enslaves people, but Jesus frees us from the burden of sin and enslavement of sin. We are all under the bondage of sin. The Bible teaches us that we are all dead in our sin and our trespasses in our sin. And we had no other choice but to serve sin and serve a wicked master, the devil. But when Christ died on the cross, that's who was in that manger. It was one that came to preach the gospel, come to evangelize, but not only evangelize, to encourage, but also to set the captives that are free under the bondage of sin. This morning, that's who Jesus was. But think about the enlightenment also. You see here at the verse number 18, it says, and recovering of sight to the blind. And the Bible speaks of how people are blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sin blinds man and puts him in the dark. Blinded, he cannot discern values. He cannot discern eternity. He cannot discern who the kingdom of God is. He cannot discern who Jesus Christ is. Some said this is just Joseph's son, but Jesus came to give sight to those that were blind. He wanted to enlighten those of this world. Last but not least, it says here that the easement of the commission. He says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This phrase speaks of the year of release. Every 49 years was the year of Jubilee, when the Israelites would free their slaves and cancel their debts. Christ's ministry would be like that for the soul. He would emancipate them. He would free them. But he also would preach, and looking forward to that day that when he would return again. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, did not just come so we could celebrate on December 25th. He did not just come so we could give gifts to someone else. He did not just come so that way we can have a reason to have a day off work or a few days off work or to see family and to eat and probably eat too much or to go shopping. He did not come for those reasons. He came to heal. He came, as you see here, to tell people the good tidings of the good news. He came to give encouragement. He came to set people free and enlighten people and to ease their burdens. In the day and time that we live in, we must learn who was in that manger. We must not lose sight as we're celebrating Christ and Christmas and the reason why he came. This tells us why the Messiah came. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to Isaiah chapter number 9. And in Isaiah chapter number 9, we see another passage of scripture that gives more consideration to who Christ was. Isaiah chapter number 9. And verse number 6. Now, this would be a more familiar passage of Scripture than Isaiah 61 is. But it says, "For unto us a child is born." That's referring to the fact that when he was born in the manger, the virgin birth of Christ, "unto us a son is given." This gives more reference to the fact that God giving his son, and was given for what? Given for the sins of the world. Then it continues on, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." And I believe that's speaking of future prophecy. "And his name shall be called Wonderful." I don't know about you if there's a better way to describe Jesus. He's wonderful. He's full of wonder. Have we lost the amazement of Jesus Christ and what he does? And that's what this morning's message is supposed to be, to understand and see him a little bit more. He is wonderful. He's more than wonderful. He's more than my eyes could ever see, more than my heart could ever imagine. He is more than anything that I could ever consider. But as I spend time in his word and spend time considering him and meditating about him, I'll see that he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's able to give us the counsel that no one else can. Now look at the next phrase, the mighty God. People say Jesus never said he was God. Here in heaven is recognizing that he was the mighty God. The everlasting Father. Look at that last phrase, the Prince of Peace. In a day and time that where you see people, shootings happening all over. We used to hear shootings over in the Middle East, but now we see here shootings are happening in America all the time. In a daytime where we see people going to and fro, taking medicines just to be able to regulate their own psychiatric issues. When we see all these different things, there doesn't seem like there's much peace. But when Jesus Christ came, he brings peace to the world. In Jesus Christ, we can know peace. Not just know peace, we can know a peace that passeth all understanding when we have confidence in him. So this week, my encouragement for you as you leave this place is to look at Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter number 4 and Isaiah chapter number 9 and other passages of Scripture that gives you a description of who Jesus Christ is. Yes, he was born in the manger, as it says, "For unto us a child is born." He was virgin birth, and that's what we see, and that's what we have out in our front lawns, and that's what was on our float, was a silhouette of the manger scene. But a son was given, so much more than just someone having a child. The Prince of Heaven was given, the Holy Lamb of God, and it's wonderful. Last but not least, remember, this is a gift that's needed. And on Saturday night, I'm not going to pick on, you know, what we do, because people bring gifts and they draw a number and they go pick up whatever gift they want and they open them up. Sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes there's things that are not needed. And they don't think. I think it was Mrs. Armstrong one year got some type of flash drive. Mrs. Armstrong didn't even have a computer. She's like, "What's this thing?" It wasn't a gift that she needed. And sometimes we give people things to show our appreciation. Sometimes there are things that are like the undershirts. I don't need any undershirts, so don't give me undershirts this year. Things that we think people could use, and they're things that are needed. When you hear this story, not only is Jesus needed in this world, not only is Jesus need to be presented in this world, not only is Jesus need to be lifted up in this world, look at the things that he does for us. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. And he is wonderful. You're not offering something that somebody, not only do they not need it, it's something that they can enjoy and be a part of. He's the one that can offer peace and bring peace to a world that is troubled and turmoil. Even believers today, when they lose their strength and their confidence and their faith in God, they're troubled at every side. They're anxious. We spoke about that last week a little bit. When you're worried and you're anxious, that's when your faith ends. But when you stop worrying, that's when your faith begins, when you have your confidence in God. And I'm reading these passages of Scriptures and I'm asking the Lord, "What is it that you want this morning?" And he's saying, "It's just that the Lord is wonderful." Yes, he's Counselor, he's Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Messiah. And he's the one that evangelizes the world and tells us to go out and evangelize this world. But he encourages us. He emancipates us. He enlightens us. He eases us. This morning, I want to encourage you. Who is Jesus to you? When those other disciples were asked that question, they said, oh, some remember you're John the Baptist because of the passion you preach with. Some say you're more like Jeremiah or Jeremiah's because the weeping. Some think about Elijah because they see all the powerful miracles. But he says, who do you say that I am? And if you think that he is Lord, and you do think he is Jesus Christ, you think he is Lord and Savior, and you think he's wonderful, and you think he is the Prince of Peace, and you consider him the one that can heal the brokenhearted, when you have a friend that's weeping, when you have someone who's upset, when you have people at work or people inside your family that are struggling, don't try to give them some self-help guru knowledge. Give them Jesus Christ. Tell them, this is what God has given me. This is what Christ has done for me. He's broken my heart. He's one that's calmed my life. I can live for him. I can be content. I can be courageous. I can be cheerful because of the fact of who he is. So many times we try to wrap certain things up in a package and give people things that they don't always need. Nothing wrong with having fun gifts. And not try to take the fun out of Saturday night. Obviously, we like to have a good time. But at the same time, I want you to consider who Jesus is to you. Because if he is Savior, he should be Lord too. The difference is Savior means we've trusted him as to be our Lord and trusted him to be our Savior. Lord means that we give him control of every area of our life. And when a person becomes a Christian, they're turning to God and they're putting their faith and trust in God. And that gets the beginning of a journey. And we recognize and we see that he's Lord and we want to follow him. We're not going to follow him in that first day. We're going to be learning and growing as time goes along. But when we see something in the Word, yes, he's Lord. Yes, he's Savior. Yes, he's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Because of that, I'm going to live for him. This morning, who is Jesus Christ to you? Have you ever put your faith and trust into him? Have you ever allowed him to set you free? Have you ever allowed him to heal your broken heart? If you've never put your faith and trust in him today, he's not just a good man. He was a good man, but he was a God man. He's not just some enlightened teacher. He's not some created being. He is God that became man for us. This morning, who is Jesus to you? Let's worship him this year. This Christmas season, let's see him as a gift that met so many needs, but not just met needs and fulfilled so many promises. It's something that we can depend on and lean on because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that can heal your broken heart. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I know some people are going through things. I know people are struggling. There are so many emotions that come into this world this time of year, especially. The devil robs us so much of our joy. They suck us out of our joy. I was telling the Sunday school class earlier about being cheerful and how Paul was confident and talked about always rejoicing. And he talked about how David Gibbs used the illustration about how some people suck people's joys out of people's lives. He says that some people act like Hoover vacuum cleaners. They just suck the joy right out of you. And that's not the way a Christian should be. And you shouldn't be sucking the joy out of somebody else. Instead, this is a time of rejoicing and praising the Lord. How do we do that? We remember who that baby was. It was God that became man for us. So go read this passage of Scripture. Let God work in your heart about what he came to do. And he's coming back to do all those other things in the future. But he came that day on Luke chapter 4. He opened that up. He stopped right there. And the reason why he stopped right there is because he told the whole crowd, today, this is fulfilled through me. He said, I was the Messiah. Do we believe that? If you do, the way we live our lives and celebrate Christmas should be completely different. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of prayer and invitation.